Ogre Cave Audio Report. You know who I am. You know who Alan is. We're talking with Brendan LaSalle, creator of X-Crawl. So you, of course, know who he is as well.
Oh, how you doing?
Hello, and we are here to talk and announce things. We are all announcers now.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we have... well, who is best prepared to do the spiel here?
Well, Brendan should probably talk a little bit about how he got into gaming and how X-Crawl came to be, because I think it's pretty interesting.
All right.
We're gonna save the big reveal for the end. Is that the?
Yeah. Well, we've got a contest, but we'll
build up the contest.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Well, let's see. I got my start in show how old I am. 1977.
Right on.
Yeah. Some friends of mine still were on the very, very early part of the Dungeons and Dragons thing. And by the time I had joined their little group, they had completely bastardized the rules. And they were really into that, what was that science fiction show? Buck Rogers. So it was very Buck Roger-esque. And there were a lot of the monsters and creatures and people they encountered there were all elements of the game and such. But we had a lot of fun. And I, of course, quickly fell in love with it. And then there was Advanced Dungeons and Dragons that came out. But I don't know. I've pretty much played more or less constantly since then. I mean, I've been a serious gamer now for, 30 years, 31 years. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good run. That's
77 good run. To now, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of sad to think about, but, No, but it's not, though. I'll tell you what. I love our hobby. I love what we do, and I wouldn't be doing X-Crawl if I wasn't completely into it.
I was going to mention something I saw in the dedication of the original X-Crawl rulebook.
Sure.
Where you, toward the end of it, say, and to role-playing game haters, whatever. What we do is the most honest and underappreciated art form there is. Some of the world's greatest stories have been told exactly one time by folks with dice in their hands. Peddle your negativities elsewhere. We aren't in the market. I like that.
Thank you.
Lay it all out there. You that don't understand RPGs, whatever. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally respect that.
Thank you. I turned that in as, and to those who hate role-playing games, you. he turned that into whatever. So I think it still tells the story. And I really feel that way. You know, it's funny. Because we're gamers, we're expected just to sort of accept pot shots and the nerd thing. And, you know, I'll accept being called a geek and you know, being into fantasy and into sci-fi. That's fine and stuff. But that's the stereotype just gets so old after just having it, you know, so every movie or whatever with a Dungeons and Dragons reference and stuff, it's invariably pretty harsh. And I love gaming, and I love the people who I game with, and we have good times. And yeah, sure, some gamers fit that stereotype, but a lot of us don't. I don't. Okay, I do to some degree, but it's bizarre how negative a reaction you'll get. You know, this is, I swear it's a true story. I was at a concert once, and before it started, I just met this attractive woman, and we started talking, and we get into what we're, you know, so what do you do? And I explain, well, I got a day job, and I'm a writer. Oh, what are you working on? And I said, I write a role-playing game. And she said, a role-playing game? I said, yeah, like Dungeons & Dragons. And she literally turned on her heel and didn't say another word to me and just walked off.
Wow.
You know? And that's what we get, you know? And, I don't know. I don't know that we deserve that.
Well, there are very closed-minded opinions as the prevailing thought out there about role-playing, and especially when you bring out Dungeons & Dragons as the example. That's got the stereotype, the nerd stigma, as it were.
Sure, sure. And sometimes, let's face it, I mean, I work cons, and I've met people who are the stereotype. And that's cool. This is, it's okay for people to be the way they want to be, and they dig on fantasy games, and, you know, that's just... It's got to be our right for people to have our hobby. Some people fish, you know. I think that's weird. In the age of grocery stores, I think it's a strange hobby.
And then the fish find it weird too, I'm sure.
And definitely unpleasant. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Although you can't drink beer when you go grocery shopping.
That's true. Well.
But you can when you game. You just don't do very well typically. So.
I've always had kind of a fondness for X-Crawl, just because it strikes me as almost like a benevolent prank. You know, you have these two things that a lot of gamers want, that are both great things to want, but they're kind of contradictory almost. You know, you have the urge to really just kick ass and fight things, and have that be really pure, And then you have the urge for, you know, that to be made more important by a surrounding story and a surrounding world. And then you spend all your energy building, oh, yeah, the world would be cool if it had this, and I'm going to create my character. He's got all this and ties to these. And then you get in the game, and sometimes you're almost just bound by all of that. And, like, you just wish that you could go back to the pure kicking ass. And X-Crawl seems like this really wickedly elegant kind of, we're going to give you both by designing everything in a complex world around the task of purely kicking ass. And I just that just makes me smile every time.
Yeah, well, thanks. I'll tell you, it's really it's definitely geared to I don't know, sort of like my play style, you know, where I love that aspect of it, but I always had a hard, like, the hardest time sometimes was like motivating your adventurers, you know. Like, you know, saying, well, okay, here's the six of you, and the one of you wants to have vengeance against your uncle, and the one of you has this lust for power, and this one has got something to prove. But all of you, for some reason, are going to go down in this hole and, you know, see what you can't kill and carry off. And that's, you know, so, yeah, X-Crawl kind of legitimizes it, however you say, and makes it, yeah, it makes it sort of like the national pastime. And it also, one of the other things I think it does is that it definitely pushes the teamwork aspect, which is a real problem with a lot of dungeon crawls. You know, you get your gaming group, and even the best gaming groups, sometimes they just devolve, and people are mad at each other, and this one's picking this one's pocket. And
the one guy is playing the paladin and is being a jerk to everyone.
Oh, exactly. And at this point, you know, in this way you have the ultimate motivating factor. Hey, this is our job here. We're here to win, and if we don't work together, you know, we're screwed, and we're going to get booted out and go back to our day jobs at the Dairy Queen, and no one wants that, you know? And
lose your sponsorships and all the cool stuff that comes with being famous, and that's the basis of X-Crawl. When people come to this not knowing what it is, it's crawling through a dungeon as a televised competition. Mm-hmm. That's at its core. It's kind of futuristic or semi-futuristic, because I get the impression technology has not advanced as far as it has in our reality within X-Crawl.
It's alternative modern.
Right. Okay. So magic kind of took over in the areas where it was better, like with healing and that sort of thing. But technology did advance to the point where there's television and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so there's televised dungeon crawls with corporate sponsorships and all that sort of thing. It strikes me as, what was that old game? The Smash TV.
Yes, that's the one.
Smash TV combined with Dungeons & Dragons or even Shadowrun. Just, I really like that idea.
Thanks. Yeah, if it's okay, I'll list the big influences.
Okay.
All right, yes, definitely Smash TV. Of course, Dungeons & Dragons. Gladiator movies. And, of course, professional wrestling is a big part of it. Because X-Crawl really has that pro wrestling vibe where the characters who do well are larger than life. They are, you know, they have a persona that they go ahead and, you know, put out there in front of the bad guys and stuff. And the ones who really do well are the ones who learn to work that angle of the games and, you know, rise to superstardom on their fame. And they're the ones who cross over and get the big endorsements and become, you know, even more famous. Fame's a big part of the game. And, that's, that aspect's in there too. And also a real obscure movie. I don't know if anyone's even seen this anymore, but Space Hunter: Adventures in the Negative Zone. Ever seen that one?
Cool.
No.
Yeah.
I might have to search it out, though.
It's a great title.
Yeah, good luck. Molly Ringwald was in it when she was a kid. And basically, at one point, they put her in this sort of like death trap arena where she has to like jump past jets of flame and get past blades and such. And I don't know, when I was a kid, that just completely captured my imagination, you know? And I was always trying to work something like that into regular D&D, and it never worked because, and later on I realized, because it was missing the crowd. It was missing, you know, this crowd of just, you know, barbarians screaming for blood, you know? And, hey, it got me charged up, and that's a big part of X-Crawl.
Cool.
Right on. Now, I'm assuming that you've run a certain amount of things like con games and such with X-Crawl and seen it in play with a lot of people. What are the things that have surprised and delighted you in playing X-Crawl with new people and different people?
Okay, well, the one thing that I never expected is that When I play X-Cross, I really have, you know, I've played a lot of conventions, and I'm like a convention workhorse. When I go into one, I try to, like, cram as many games into it as humanly possible and just do, you know, I like to run three sessions a day when I can and after games and such. It's so many people play X-Crawl for the first time and then say, wow, in my home game, my DJ is going to be this one and I'm going to do this idea and this is going to be my theme. And that's what people come back at me with, a lot of great ideas, like things, like themes of their own or ideas of their own. People want to write in it, or I should say create in the X-Crawl world. And that's been absolutely gratifying, you know, to see that people who are feeling it so much that they don't just want to play the game. They want to be a part of the creation. And that's amazingly rewarding to me. I love that. And that's the one thing that's really surprised me the most when I've gone to cons, is how many people have come up to me later and said, wow, when I'm going to go back and I'm going to run a dungeon and this DJ is going to be, have this name and do this and have this kind of theme. And I've heard some excellent things. You know, I mean, just to be a fly on the wall of some of the X-Crawl games, you know, if half of them have gone the way people wanted them to go, I bet there have been some amazing, amazing campaigns out there in it. So,
Well, before we talk about writing in the X-Crawl world, Hint, let's talk a little bit about this concept of the DJ.
Sure.
Which is not a DM.
Nope.
But it's also, it's a character in the game?
Yes, the DJ is, it's similar to your DM, though. Your DJ is the MC of the contest. He's the master of ceremonies. He is the one ultimately who is responsible for designing the competition, fictionally, of course, for placing the monsters, for deciding which traps go where and whatnot. Now, the beauty of it is the DJ can react to players. So an example I use in the book is let's say you've got a player who never lets your thief check for traps. He always wants to go bash doors down. Well, your DJ isn't static, and he can say, well, they're going to play it like this. I'm going to trap each and every door with the nastiest, most concussive, you know, horrifying traps I can come up with just because this one player is doing what he does, you know? Or a player can insult him. Nice. This DJ's weak. This dungeon's way too easy. Are you kidding me? I can do this in my sleep. And that DJ goes,
DJ's listening.
Yeah, he's like, okay, sure. And the next thing you know, here come the undead dinosaurs you've been saving for a special occasion, you know?
Nice.
So, but also having a cool DJ gives you like the theme that'll go along with it. You know, I just finished the most recent one that came out has been X-Crawl, the Las Vegas Crawl, and DJ in that Outrageous Fortune. You know, he's like he really sets the tone where this is, it really has that sort of like Vegas feel. There's a lot of rooms that are either straight up gambling or have gambling parodies.
Apparently, Two-Face.
Yeah. But yeah. He also, one of the things is he's real Romanesque, you know, he's like the personification of Caesar's Palace, you know, he wears a toga and the laurels, and the classical Roman stuff comes through a lot in that too. That's the secondary theme. I went to Vegas for my 30th birthday and there's great stuff there, but to me that was the best part of Vegas, was going out there and seeing, you know, being in Caesar's Palace and seeing all of that, you know, brought to life in front of you. It was really, really intense.
Nice. Nice. And yeah, I had a great game with Embodied Gods in Las Vegas recently. Very different from that one, but it was cool. Very cool. But what I love about this, again, is it's taking something that players want to do anyway and making it not just part of the rules, but part of the story.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
It's one of the most frustrating things to me about traditional role-playing is how the DM can't play hard. You know,
yeah.
You always have to hold back a little bit, because if you played as hard as you could, well, you're God, so you could just say everybody dies.
Sure.
You always have to hold back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love also about Paranoia and Call of Cthulhu, which is that if you just kill everybody, the players love it.
Totally.
Because it's in the story.
Wow. Totally.
Man, just that I'm X-Crawl in the same sentence as Paranoia and Call of Cthulhu lit me up like a Christmas tree. Yeah, those are both games I'm extremely fond of, and I just got the newest edition of Call of Cthulhu day before yesterday, and was up late last night reading it over again. Had to go back, pull up my old Lovecraft. Yeah, it does. It gives you the opportunity for playing very hard. I try to make it where like I don't know. You're right. You can be a killer, a killer DJ. I like to have my DJ go out there and really make it extremely difficult for people. I think X-Crawl should be hard, because you know, for that kind of player who is really interested in that kind of challenge and having that kind of challenge be a part of the story is typically a very good player, you know? Someone who really thinks strategically and who is able to coordinate with a team. And X-Crawl dungeons, because of the way they're set up, can be harder, you know? If you look at the challenge, just the challenge ratings of the monsters and the traps that I typically use in the anything that we design, it's rough, you know? It's real rough. And if you're stupid or, unlucky, anyone can happen unlucky, but if you don't play smart, it will definitely take you down again and again and again. And that's the one thing about X-Crawl should be hard, you know? But it's the kind of people who are attracted to it, and I found this again and again and again, are the people who really do a good job of thinking strategically, thinking outside the box, and confounding whatever obstacle and monster they put in front of them. I've seen some amazing play because I make it harder.
Right. Now, I'm assuming there are some mechanical restraints on the DJs as characters. I assume challenge rating figures into that.
Absolutely. In the world of X-Crawl, there's a timeline that goes through all the X-Crawl books. And when the first book happens, you are in the 20th year of X-Crawl. And they talk about how in the early years, it was really disorganized, monsters got loose, dungeons were either way too easy and boring or so hard that no one survived, and then, of course, no one wanted to play in those. So you begin play in the era when X-Crawl has really sort of come into its own stride. Dungeon judges, you know, they sort of have an instinct feel for challenge rating because they know what they need to do to put on a good show and kill just enough people to keep the action, you know, enough players, I should say, to keep the action going and to keep people excited about it, but without a total party wipe every time you turn on the TV, which would keep people from joining their, you know, wanting to participate.
So even that constraint is built into the story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It all is.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
That's very cool. Before we get too deep into this, before we completely bury the lead, I want to talk about the contest here.
Absolutely. Let's talk about it. Okay, Ogre Cave, and God love y'all guys, have graciously agreed to sponsor the first X-Crawl Fiction Contest. The contest is going to be, of course, sponsored by Goodman Games, who published X-Crawl, and you mostly run through the website. I'm going to go – do you want me to go through the rules now or the
– Sure. We can just lay those out for them.
Okay. So submissions can be of any length up to 10,000 words. It's got to be fiction about X-Crawl. It doesn't actually have to have the game in it, but it has to be in the X-Crawl world, and it should have, you know, elements of X-Crawl in whatever it is.
Sure. So having certain supplements from it will certainly help you put it in proper context.
Certainly, certainly, certainly. But I'd love to see some stories that just took place in a world that was affected by X-Crawl, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, I want people to not feel constrained. Yeah, let your imaginations run wild here, you X-Crawl fans. And submissions should be sent into xcrawlcontest@goodmangames.com. That's goodman-games.com.
We'll have that link up on the show notes, and I'm sure you'll have it on Goodman Games site.
Fantastic. And there's going to be a $200 cash prize from Goodman Games. I know, right? $200. Who couldn't use that? And the winner is going to have their work published, I believe, as a PDF title within, you know, a certain amount of time after the contest ends. So we hope to see a lot of submissions and a lot of great writing and some good X-Crawl stories.
Right on. And this is going to be judged by you, Mr. LaSalle, creator of X-Crawl.
You, Mr. Sugarbaker, and you, Mr.
Yes.
Sugarbaker.
Yeah. Both of us,
yeah.
and David Bernardi.
Yes,
Bernardi.
Yeah, Bernardi. Dave Bernardi, he's our legitimate, our fiction legitimist. He's actually a doctorate, has a doctorate in creative writing, and he's a brilliant, brilliant writer, and he's played X-Crawl. He's gonna like reach down and raise us all up.
He's gonna keep us honest.
Nice.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you right now, I'm looking to see some slash fiction.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't know what slash fiction is, you might not want to go find out what. but, yeah, it's just if you want to pander to me as a judge, slash fiction, bonus points if none of the other judges notice that it's slash fiction.
Well, that would be awfully subtle.
Yeah, well, that tells you everything you need to know about me.
All right. He's a freak. Okay. Yeah, so this will be interesting, I think. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm so glad that you guys have agreed to help us out with it and to sponsor the contest. That's fantastic, and thanks for being judges, and I really appreciate that.
What's the time frame they have?
The time frame. Entries in by January 1st.
Yeah, we're running from now
to
January 1st. That is your deadline for having entries in.
Okay. Absolutely. And judging right now, we're planning to judge it and have it done by January 15th. But if we get 16,000 entries, ladies and gentlemen, we might go a little longer. But
yeah,
yes.
We'll see.
Well, I don't know. That would be more entries than the Wizards of the Coast setting submission search got. So I'm hoping we get a little less than that.
Yeah. You know, whatever we get, I'm happy with.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, okay, here's what's on our minds. We talked a little about convention play earlier. Brendan, you are based in Athens, Georgia, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Home of REM and the B-52s.
Absolutely.
We talk about cons periodically on the show, and it seems like a lot of people kind of complain about the scene in the South.
Right.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, our big con here, of course, is Dragon Con. And Dragon Con, God love it, which is a ton of fun. It's really more about... It's more about the costumes and the celebrities and the booths. I love going to Dragon Con, and every time I've gone, I've had an absolute blast. And a few times I've left without my pants on and, you know, gothic makeup in my hair and stuff and didn't know what had happened. But it's not really like, it's harder to get there and set games up than it is probably at most other cons.
Been out to Dragon Con one time in 2000.
Nice.
Yeah, 2000. And it was a blast, but it's a fan con. Anything you could be a fan of.
Exactly.
Just general con culture.
Yeah.
And it's a great time. I have friends who go every year and who like do the there's a vampire LARP. I think they run out there, and a friend of mine participated in that one year. But I don't even bring my books. It's a kind of con. You have to kind of go with that vibe. I go and wear black and put on a costume if I can. Yeah, it's a good time. But we have some small towns here. I would say that Georgia's got a better gaming scene than a lot of places that I've lived in. And I'll tell you, when I came, I moved to Georgia in 1986. And I've moved a lot. I lived here for a little while. I moved to New Orleans. I moved back. I moved to the West Coast. I moved back. I lived in New York for a while. I moved back. And I had some of the greatest gaming crews I've ever put together have all been out of Georgia. I mean, just some fantastic, fantastic players. Now, unfortunately, as things are, people are scattered all over the U.S. One of my best friend gamers, someone who was actually named in that dedication that you mentioned earlier, Jason Jenkins, is off in Japan now with the military. So, you know, like my old crew is mostly scattered, but boy, we had some fantastic gamings out here. I don't mind telling you.
Right on. Yeah, I think that any place where you have what you might call porch culture, like strong cultural support for just sitting on the porch having a beer as almost a hobby in and of itself, you can have a strong gaming culture.
Yeah, all right.
Doesn't mean you will, but you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so the South will rise again.
We absolutely will. And there's, like I said, and I just hooked up with a new crew out here that I got introduced to by some friends of friends. And we played their first X-Crawl game, I guess about a month, 6 weeks ago and stuff. And, it was phenomenal. Those guys are fantastic. We're having a really – I'm actually playtesting something that I'm hoping to release in '09. And, I'm having a great time with that so far.
Cool.
Yes. Get ready. It's going to be exciting.
All right.
Cool. Well, anything else you're playing these days, Brendan?
Can I tell you one that I'm getting ready for? I'm not actually playing it yet, but have you guys heard about Etherscope?
Yes.
Oh, sure. I love Etherscope. I actually, at Gen Con this year, I bought Etherscope for some friends, and I bought it for my girlfriend, her Gen Con present, and she hasn't actually had a chance to look at the books yet because I'm hogging them. I love the scenario. I'm just nuts over this game, and I'm talking about doing that, and also the other thing I bought at Gen Con was the new Wicked Factory released, the Iron Giant. I'm going to run that for some friends. I'm going to try to do it in one big, long day of gaming coming up here, you know, big, exciting one-shot. But I have my I have a weekly X-Crawl campaign that I run right now with my new crew that I mentioned. And I'm doing my friend Jason in Japan, we are doing a game via video chat from here to Japan, which is
nice.
It's harsh, though. Like, if you can picture it, we start at usually on a Saturday night at around, I guess, 7 p.m. here, which is 6 in the morning there. Can you guys imagine waking up at 6 in the morning to play?
No.
I think I might have done it at some point.
I've done it. We've all done it once in a while.
At a con, but, you know.
Yeah. But he's a trooper out there. And so, we have a lot of fun with that one.
Cool. Yeah, video chat is... I remember, first I should say, you know, we have a hard enough time sometimes getting together for the podcast, and we're all in the same time zone.
Yeah.
But, video chat is something that that Chris H. actually, I think, like a year and a half ago when iChat video was relatively new and the video cameras started going into all of the PowerBooks on the Mac side. And he was just like, yeah, this is a great way to run a game, and I'm expecting it to explode. And... It kind of didn't. I feel like there's just still enough resistance to technological channels for gaming.
Yeah.
Amongst role players.
I gotta say,
things
though,
don't spread the way you'd think they would.
I have a theory about that.
Yeah.
I think that the technology still hasn't quite caught up. It's still not exactly what we need yet. I'll tell you what I would really like. This is like my fantasy of online video chat gaming. I want multiple cameras. I want a camera on the board with the figures. I want a camera where I roll dice and a camera on me that I can, use to communicate with, And I also want I don't want to say who I use for video chat, but get it together, guys. Get it together. We spend more of our game look like this. Dee, can you hear me? Jason, are we all on? All right. Okay. No. What? All I hear is static. Hello? Hello? I can read the text, but I can't hear you. I mean, swear, that's an hour of our the 4 hours we can manage to squeeze in between here in Tokyo, And you can pull your hair out, So
sounds like some of our podcast attempts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that we're only so far from the advances that we have to make it very, very good. Do you guys hear about ZigguratCon in Iraq?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Absolutely. Yeah. A friend of mine. I met him because he was doing Ziggurat, and I got in touch with him through that and stuff. And I actually, I don't know. I really wanted to do something, And I thought, oh, video chat. Why can't we hook up video chat? So I send these guys a message out there, and I'm like, look, I'll run. I'll get up at 3 in the morning. I'll do whatever I got to do. I will run the X-Crawl game from here. And in my head, it was going to be so great. I was going to get like a dice babe for for the soldiers and such to roll dice for them and such. It was going to be phenomenal. Yeah. And, but they don't have the bandwidth. They couldn't pull it off. And I'm like, come on, you guys are in the military. We can't, we can't get together for the boys over there. They can't get one X-Crawl game in here with 3.5 in Georgia. I don't know. I don't think we're too far away from the technology catching up and being really making it where video chat is an extremely viable option. We're not too far. I'll tell you what we used to do when I was a kid. You guys won't even believe this. I'm going to show how really old I am. We used to play over the CD.
Ooh.
Yeah. We had a game, it was like, I would play at one friend's house, and there were two other friends who were like satellited out in like neighborhoods. I grew up in New York, so we're across town from each other and stuff. And we would play, the CB, it's so reliable, The only problem is every once in a while you get a trucker going, "What the hell is an orc, and why are y'all talking about it on the channel? Get off!" Other than that, we had so much fun with that,
Wow.
That was reliable.
That makes me want to design a game designed to be played over CB. You'd have to use Skype to simulate it, of course.
Of course.
Wait,
but it doesn't capture it because you don't get truckers interrupting you.
You could,
you
though.
You just have to design that in somehow.
Yeah, like a wandering monster. You'd have a drive-by truckers, like we have the little laugh has been drive-by truckers. But we could, yeah, we could have, you know, every once in a while they'll just show up and, oh, they would dog on us and make fun. What are you going to do? We had a schedule of, you know, CB works on channels. So we would say, they would get on there and get ugly. And we would, say, hey, John, first number and your phone number. And we'd, you know, switch to that channel and then escape from the mean truckers who would make fun of our little 12-year-old twerpy butts.
Then you'd be there for a while until they found you again.
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty about truckers, though. They're on their way. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's pretty neat.
Nice. Nice. Well, I want to, since we're talking about alternate means of and online means of gaming, this kind of leads into another question.
Go ahead.
You're a producer of D20 material for D&D 3.5,
mm-hmm.
and now, of course, we're facing down the headlights of D&D 4.
Ah, yes.
What are you thinking about D&D 4? I mean, nobody has complete information at this point, but...
Sure. And not only... I've heard a lot of rumors, and a lot of them are actually conflicting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to withhold judgment until I actually have a book in my hand, but... My general feeling is this, you know, yes, it makes me crazy that I'm going to have to learn a whole new gaming system and learn it so fast. And like, you wish you had it like a year to get, you know, geared up into it, but I'm writing a dungeon
seriously
now. And when the rules actually get in my hand, I'm going to have to immediately learn and then write stat blocks and figure out spells and D&D strategy in a whole new system and such. But, I think it's going to be fun. And I think that one of the things it's going to do, it's going to make the gaming faster. I think it's going to make actual, like, conflict resolution, whether it be skills or combat, I think it's going to go quicker.
Right.
And I'm always for whatever can speed up. You know, you want to spend your time in the role-playing aspect. And that's, you know, that's when you want to, you know, meander. But I think if the stuff I've seen and heard so far is actually correct, I think that it's going to make it very quick, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll make up, especially for X-Crawl, which is like, you know, we play X-Crawl like lightning around here. You know, we try to like boom, 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 keep the fights going and, you know, keep it running around the table. And I'm excited about that part of it. But, you know, again, I'm withholding all judgment until I have a book in my hands. What have you guys heard? Anything?
I've heard exactly what you're saying, that they're planning to streamline and get things moving much quicker. If they don't need it to be complicated, it's out. You know, if they can't simplify it, they just get rid of it entirely. Grapple's going to be a big target of that.
They're going to get rid of grapple?
Well, I'm sure they're going to simplify it dramatically, because how can you get rid of grabbing somebody? It's going to happen.
Exactly. It's just not allowed.
No touching.
Now, you see, you could do that in X-Crawl. You just make it a rule. All right, no grappling. It doesn't look good on camera. Stop it. You know, and then boom, that's it.
You can't grope her. We'll lose sponsorship. I don't know any of the specifics, just like you, but from what I'm hearing, I'm cautiously optimistic, like I
said
in previous
shows. That's how I feel.
Hold on. I know nothing.
I know nothing.
I don't play D&D, really. I'm just hoping that, you know, the new DMG is about one-third rules and two-thirds GM advice.
Well, that was DMG 2, and it didn't go well.
It's the advice has to be good for it to go well.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I mean, I've been playing literally from 77. I don't know how much DM advice I need. But we'll see. I mean, you know, maybe it's – this could be – you know, no one knows yet. It could be absolutely eye-opening. I have to tell you guys my 3.5 – my D&D 4 story, actually.
Yep.
On the way up to, you know, I went to Gen Con with my my frequent writing partner, Dwayne Waldrop, and he and I flew up together, and he, you know, we were both, we wanted to really be at our best this con. You know, I've run a lot of games at a convention, but this was the most organized tournament we've ever done here at Gen Con 06. Jason Little wrote a fantastic scenario. The Phoenix Crawl Open, which was a blast, and we, you know, going over it and going over it. We just wanted to be spectacular. So, I spent maybe 2 weeks making up flashcards with all the rules, like, you know, grapple and disarm and bull rush and counter spells. You know what I'm saying? Like the things, mm-hmm. And we went over these things and went over these things, and we just got it to where we had it backwards and forwards going into the convention. And the first night there, it's like, it's going to be D&D 5. The rules are all changed. And I was like,
four.
I can't. Oh, I didn't want to tell you. Oh, I let the cat out of the bag, guys. Sorry. We're going to skip 4, go right to 5, And
nice.
It's going to all be done by robots. No, I'm
kidding. Cool. All right.
But,
yes.
But
that's
going to
be
like,
nice for you.
Right? It's the next step. But, yeah, just all my plans for, you know, complete D&D mastery, flushed, completely flushed.
Right on.
Is there anything else we need to go into tonight, or?
No, let's see.
Pretty much covered the contest.
Yes.
That's the big thing. Write up something X-Crawl universe related and get it in.
Email address on the Overcave website.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Get those pens warmed up.
Yeah.
Cool. I look forward to see what you have to say about X-Crawl. So let's see some stories.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Right on. Well, Brendan LaSalle, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. But,
the X-Crawl Fiction Contest is on.
It's on.
Now.
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks so much.